B-Pod Studios.
Belger.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man. Well, nobody's perfect.
Belger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, here's a storyline heading into Monday night's game at the Jets. Demaryius Thomas, receiver who was here in the offseason and then for a little bit in training camp and then into the season, who was subsequently traded to the Jets, sounded off today in New York against Bill Belichick. New York Daily News, Manish Mehta. God bless this guy. He's tremendous.
He is. He's good.
So Manish Mehta gets him. And, I'll just read from the story. It's great. Manish writes, Demaryius Thomas learned a valuable lesson with the evil empire that he won't soon forget. Never trust the Patriots. This is so Manish. Manish writes, Bill Belichick will toss you away at a moment's notice if something better comes along. The 31-year-old Thomas found that out the hard way after taking Lord Vader at his word this summer.
I know, I saw that. I was like,
He found out the hard way after taking Lord Vader at his word this summer. The five-time Pro Bowl wide receiver's decision to stick around Foxborough after getting cut in late August revealed a sobering truth about the NFL's greatest dynasty. Their word is not their bond. So good. Quote, it was insulting for sure, Thomas told the Daily News. Once I got cut August 31st, I could have just come here to the Jets and not stayed there in New England and re-sign. But when they re-signed me, I was thinking I was good. 2 weeks later, I was gone. So it's like, why did I waste my time? Because at the end of the day, it was kind of a waste of a time for me. He went on to say, quote, I always knew I was going to still be able to play, and it would have worked out there in New England because I was still learning their offense. Josh McDaniels drafted me back in Denver years ago.
Of course.
So, said Thomas, I felt like I was cool. Even having conversations with him, meaning McDaniels, and a couple other people, it was like, you're going to be okay.
Brady.
So McDaniels and Brady were telling him, you're here.
Absolutely.
Then 2 weeks later, he says AB gets cut and they kick me to the curb and ship me out like I'm just a rookie. So that, you know, so that's a line that I sort of highlighted there. Felt like I was cool. Even having conversations with him, meaning McDaniels and a couple other people, Brady. It was like, you're going to be okay. Then 2 weeks later, they kicked me to the curb. Quote, it was disrespectful to me, said Thomas, who was dealing with a hamstring strain at the time. Did we know that?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Yep.
He says, you could trust me and I could trust you. You told me when you cut me at the final cut, sit around, you'll bring me back. And I stayed. I could have easily become a Jet once I got cut. I could have easily been here the next day after I got released, but I chose to stay. Then at the last, the very last quote, Belichick came up to me and was like, we got too many guys. And I wonder if when Thomas, there's no audio of this, it was just a conversation with Manish. I wonder if when he was talking to Manish, he did a Belichick voice.
Yeah.
Because Manish chose to put in the which is like, like
a little tell.
This is translated, right? It's not even on audio, so you can really clean up the quotes if you want.
We got too many guys.
So it's like Manish sort of put in the in there, which is easy to believe. Anyway, quote, coach came up to me and was like, we got too many guys. We can't get the ball around enough, and we're going to trade you to the Jets, Thomas said. And that was that. Ain't no reason to yell. They've won championships without me. I was only trying to be part of something that was going to be good when I was there. They're doing a hell of a job. Your thoughts on Demaryius Thomas?
Okay, so the line about disrespectful, I don't care about, and I think he's wrong. They got an opportunity they couldn't pass up, and fine. Deal with it. However, I think he's generally telling the truth, and I think Belichick confirmed it today with the way he answered the question about Demaryius Thomas.
So Belichick surprisingly responded. We'll give that to you here coming up in a minute, but go ahead.
Okay, so again, when I heard it, I said, you know what? I think it went down pretty much like Demaryius Thomas said. They told him he was going to be back. He had every reason to believe he was going to be back. The quarterback wanted him, and then Antonio Brown sprung free, and they cut bait.
So let me give you my thoughts. I have no use for Demaryius Thomas, and this is just more reason why. Like, oh, wham. Come on, man. It's the NFL. You know it.
Sure.
It's a cold business. Any of these guys should know it.
You know it. And that's just the way it goes in that league. And you know it as well as anyone. You've been around the block. You've been around. This is now your fourth team. You should get it, Demaryius. you know. So, like, wah, cry me a river. I never liked the guy as a player before he got here. And unlike you, Patriots fans, I didn't like him when he was here. So I was glad they traded him. I have no use for Demaryius Thomas. He is soft as puppy crap. And he's much better to play against than to play with. Because now you know it's really coming. He's going to get cracked in the mouth early in this ball game on Monday, and that's the last you'll see of Demaryius Thomas, because he is not tough. He does not profile as a Patriots type of receiver. I got no use for him. So that's me personally. So unlike you, I don't go back and forth versus, yay, we got DT. Look at Demaryius. Oh, we go. Oh, he's a Jet. Oh, he's a loser. You know, I'm not you. I never liked the guy before he got here. I didn't like him when he was here. I don't like him when he's gone. You'll smack him in the mouth on that first series, and you won't have to worry about Demaryius Thomas, which would have happened if he was here too, by the way, because he's that kind of player. However,
I knew there was a but.
Here's the but. Do you think the quarterback wanted him?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was a veteran. He was an established veteran, and that has been proven just from what Tom has said in recent weeks. That's all he really wants to deal with. So he's more comfortable with old-ass Demaryius Thomas than Gunnar Olszewski or Jacoby Myers.
And this is this part of Brady's thing?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. I think added
Brady
to the list.
Put him up to it?
No.
It's one of the things that's got him pissed off.
Yeah. This is the Demaryius Thomas trade is one of the things that contributed to his piss-ass poor mood.
Yes. So look, this I don't have the same feeling about Demaryius Thomas that you do. And when they traded him, I initially went, I don't know if I love that. Like, you're going to give him away for a six-round pick? You know, he was the easy guy to pick, but you tell me you couldn't cut some guy off the special team squad?
So let's put our personal feelings aside. Brady's feelings.
Brady absolutely wanted him. I mean,
absolutely wanted him.
Yeah, so if you were to tell me, though, Brady gets to pick Antonio Brown and Demaryius Thomas. He's taking Antonio Brown.
Oh, of course. No, but he had both?
Yes.
He had both, and I think Demaryius Thomas' timing is off. They traded Demaryius Thomas after Antonio Brown
got
here.
Correct, yes. Yeah.
Not before they cut Antonio Brown.
No, look at it this way. Who would Brady rather be throwing to, Demaryius Thomas or Gunnar Olszewski or Jacoby Myers?
It's not Demaryius even close. Thomas. Demaryius right. Thomas. And they were attached at the hip. They spent all that time together, didn't they? Locker right next to each other? Something like this. You know, you listen to the Zoe and these other people. It was Brady and Demaryius Thomas joined at the hip.
I mean, they were next to each other during the preseason games all the time.
Right, exactly.
All the time. They were sitting on the bench together and oftentimes.
And so I think this, you know, add this, Ben Watson, never mind Antonio Brown, which is still like, you know, the sausage king, sausage emoji king of New England. All this has conspired. Brady wanted all these guys.
Yes.
Because he doesn't want to work with kids. But he wanted to work with, you know, and Demaryius Thomas. Antonio Brown. I mean, that piece of garbage. Like, these guys that Brady wants to work with, as opposed to a young, scrappy, hardworking, dedicated guy like, you know, Jacoby Myers, to me, blows me away. It disappoints me, frankly. But so be it. I think that's what Brady wanted. And I think that them letting Antonio Brown for sure, but Demaryius Thomas going, has led to Brady's state.
Oh, he definitely wanted Demaryius Thomas. Definitely did.
Further, let me ask this to the people. I don't think it's a mistake. I don't miss him. I don't need him. I don't like Demaryius Thomas. But you people. Was it a mistake for the Patriots to trade Demaryius Thomas when they did? Was it a mistake for them to trade him, Mass?
Yep.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I mean, totally. Again, I said to you, like, think of what you sacrificed there. There's a reason they brought Demaryius Thomas in the first place. There's a reason Bill told him you have a spot on the roster, because they knew they were going to need bodies there. They could use a big body in the red zone. And I'm not telling you Demaryius Thomas is a Hall of Famer, but he's better than a lot of what they got, including Josh Gordon, I think. So now I'll eat my words if Gordon ends up playing better than I think, but Gordon looks to me like he's going the other way.
Well,
and I'm not talking about the, you know, substance abuse issues.
One guy's playing on Monday, one guy's not, and it ain't your guy. Gordon's going to be out and Demaryius Thomas is playing. But I'm telling you, if Stephon Gilmore's on him, you won't be seeing Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah, I don't really like him either, but he at least is a better option than some of the guys that they have here, I feel like.
And I just, you know, I wonder if Bill's going to make sure now that Demaryius Thomas doesn't get off. I mean, if Stephon Gilmore was going to face him some of the time, is he now going to face him all the time? And we're going to make sure that Demaryius Thomas ain't going to be in our face on Monday night? But either way, that's my question to you, the people. Was it a mistake to trade Demaryius Thomas when they did? Your thoughts. And Belichick surprisingly engaged the story, responded to the story today in Foxville. You will hear that sound as well. This right after these words.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
The Mary sounds called disrespectful and insulting the way the trade went down this September. Do you have any regrets about how that whole situation played out?
Yeah, look, Demaris is a great kid. I have a ton of respect for him. He's very professional and did everything we asked him to do. Our circumstances changed a couple times in that period leading up to when he was traded. And so I feel like I was always truthful with him, but things changed, and therefore what I said was not the same as what it was, what I'd said previously. So it is what it is.
Surprised Bill Belichick answered it. Honestly, 9 times out of 10, 99 times out of 100, it's I'm only going to talk about players that are on my team. I'm only going to talk about the Jets. I'm just worried about Monday night's game. Instead, he talked about a player on another team who's actually facing this week, who was with him and has a beef on the way out the door. He addressed it.
Tells you a lot, doesn't it?
What does it tell you?
It tells me, one, that the story that Demaryius Thomas is telling is generally true, that the Patriots had given him assurances that he would be here, and then they reversed course. And I believe Bill. I don't think Bill, like, screwed the guy. I think that Antonio Brown sprung free, and the Patriots said, well, we're going to change now. And so they sent Thomas on his way. Here's the other thing it tells me. He likes the guy. He likes him. He doesn't want to, because he would have just dismissed it out of hand. Maybe he wants to leave open the possibility that Thomas will come back. Who the hell knows? I mean, it could be any one of a million things. But if he didn't like the guy, or he thought he was lying, or he wouldn't have even addressed any of it, I think Bill actually has respect for Demaryius Thomas. Or maybe the fact that Josh McDaniels has a relationship with Demaryius Thomas. Whatever it is, Bill was careful not to, like, dump on Demaryius Thomas.
So this thing that you're hearing, you know, beneath the surface from some of the guys, Gasper, Bedard, you know, just by the reporting, not that they've said this to me, but, you know, the guys on offense are unhappy with the way the team has built the offense. And Brady and, I think, McDaniels are the two biggest culprits. You know, Edelman also would have a right, but he's just got a contract extension. He's not looking for another job. He doesn't have these other things where, you know, McDaniels is going to be back in the market looking for a job. And a poor offensive performance reflects on him. And Brady could be in his last year, in a walk year, whatever. It obviously matters to him what he's surrounded by, obviously. So I think Brady and McDaniels have expressed unhappiness over what they've been given on offense. And I think Demaryius Thomas is part of this thing. Demaryius Thomas was a Josh McDaniels guy, drafted, brought here. Demaryius Thomas told the Daily News. McDaniels said you'd be okay. And then they cut him. And McDaniels looks and says, well, now my word is garbage. I tell you, I tell a player he's okay, he's safe, and then you cut him. So I think it all, I think Demaryius Thomas is part of this whole story.
Yeah, I mean, definitely he is. I have a hard time having compassion for McDaniels on his word being garbage.
Thank you.
When he backed out of a coaching job, for crying out loud. So that one's a sort of a separate issue. But again, the way Bill answered that, because when I heard it, I had the same reaction everyone else did, I think, including you. Whoa, he actually answered it. He actually acknowledged that, yeah, you know, things kind of went sideways there because we ended up faced with a scenario we didn't anticipate. Like, that's what Bill was admitting.
Correct. Even still, was it the right move? Was it the right move to trade Demaryius Thomas when they did? Tim and Quincy, your thoughts?
Yeah, I understand the situation, and obviously the Antonio Brown thing was the biggest factor, and I think Kraft jumped the gun and got rid of him too quickly. He wasn't found guilty of anything. The media convicted him of everything that he'd done.
So you're blaming, hold on. So you're saying the Demaryius Thomas trade was Robert Kraft's fault or the media's fault?
Well, obviously, Brown was the topic of the team for...
I'm sorry, I have to cut you off. You're driving me nuts. I don't know what he's saying. I can't understand what he's saying.
Yeah, I mean...
It's our fault that Antonio Brown is still not...
I mean, okay, that's sort of what I take from it.
What does it have to do with Demaryius Thomas?
Well, Demaryius Thomas was traded because Antonio Brown was brought in.
Like I said, you don't blame Bill. You blame Robert Kraft for allowing Antonio Brown to be cut, or cutting Antonio Brown, and by extension, us, for forcing Robert Kraft's hand on
exactly.
It.
Yeah, no. He doesn't blame Kraft. He blames the media making a big deal out of it.
Yeah, so the media forced Robert's hand and took the decision out of Belichick's hand. And in other words, the Demaryius Thomas trade would have been fine if Antonio Brown was still here, which is true, by the way. Why don't you blame Antonio Brown for not being able to put the phone down? You ever consider that?
Yeah.
Tim? Yeah, hemming and hawing?
Or I would go back to bringing Antonio Brown in the first place.
Well, but I mean, who to blame? If Antonio Brown hadn't threatened that gal with those text messages, he'd still be here. So why don't you blame him for the fact that that imbecile child couldn't put his phone down? I don't know. I'd start with that.
Bill should have held on to Thomas. They got rid of him quick.
Sean and Methuen, should the Patriots have hung on to Demaryius Thomas? Sean! Okay, babe, you can call us back. Here's Nick in Plymouth on Freddie Kitten's running backs coach. Yes, Nick.
Hey, guys. I asked Zoe and Bertrand this, so I want your perspective, especially from Murray, because he was picking on running backs this weekend with Gasper. I just want to know what your thoughts are about the running back coach for the Pats. He's one of the only guys that's been there for all the championships. And through all the running backs they've had, for a true running back that runs into holes, has the instincts that you just mentioned with Kitchens, like, why isn't he helping people like Sony Michel figure out how to put their arms out to get past the goal line, or how to find the holes and not do these silly stutter steps that both Sony Michel and Lawrence Maroney used to do before trying to cut into holes? Like, I want to hold him a little accountable for some of the success that the only running backs that have done anything are pass catchers.
Nick, so you're talking about Ivan Fears, who's been there forever and is great guy. Love Ivan Fears. Nothing bad to say about the man. Running backs coaches are kind of useless. So that's not a reflection on him. That's what the job he's been given. And he's had it. Oh my God. I didn't realize. I thought he was receivers. He was receivers coach under Pete. That's what it was. He was Pete's receivers coach his last couple of years here in New England. And then when Bill got here, he was still a receivers coach for a couple of years. And then he's been the running back coach since 2002.
I mean, other than Skarnecchia, and again, I recognize Skarnecchia left there for a short period of time. Has anybody been there longer?
No, it's Ivan and Dante Skarnecchia. They're the two guys that predated Bill and are still here. I don't think there's another.
No, I can't imagine there is.
And I don't even think there's a front office guy that's still, you know, the Patriots.com guys. The only guys who've been in the organization longer. Stacy, like, you know, guys like that. There's been no coach that has been here the whole time.
I want your opinion on the whole sort of ability to run thing. Can you teach it, or is it innate?
It's innate.
That's what I think.
It's large. Now, look, of course a running back coach is going to help you with this is the read, and this is the hole, and this is how the play is designed. And there's definitely techniques with picking up the blitz. There's definitely techniques with carrying out a play action fake. And so I'm not telling you that there's zero use for a running backs coach. But for the most part, the meat of the matter for a running back is you come into the league and you either have that field vision or you don't. You either have the speed or you don't. You can't coach speed. Or you have that sort of elusiveness or you don't. How do you, Deion Lewis and his elusiveness, is that coached?
No way, no.
Is he just athletic and he's like a ballerina? Or, you know, like, you don't coach Barry Sanders. He just has that. So this is all, we go back, this is Freddie Kitchens. He went from the running backs coach to the head coach, which to me is a preposterous move. Preposterous.
I mean, that really is like going from janitor to CEO.
It is, and this is not about Ivan, but this is about that positional. I'd say it's the
simplest.
It's the simplest, least important positional coach there is, I think. I don't know. You name another one. There's more technique for a defensive lineman. There's much more at work with an offensive line. You got 9-10 guys you're in charge of. They all have to work together. There's a lot of coordination there. Secondary all has to work together. There's a lot of techniques back there. The running backs?
It's like the first base coach in baseball.
The running backs coach becomes the head coach because he's buddies with the QB because they drank beer together. Or it had to be something like that. You know it. Or they went out for barbecue, Murray. You know that had to be how they became friends.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I like to party with Baker. He's all right.
Oh, yeah, they did the fish fry together.
Can I have your tartar sauce?
You know, they 99% go from coordinator to head coach. John Harbaugh was a special teams coach, which is like, maybe that should, there should be more of that because you're coordinating different groups, and like, I sort of get that. The rare occasion you'll go from quarterbacks coach to head coach, isn't the Cincinnati guy?
Yeah, right. Zach
so
Taylor, yeah.
Quarterbacks coach, maybe. I still need you to be a coordinator first, but to go from being the running backs coach to a head coach, it just doesn't happen for good reason.
Oh, yeah. No, no. Again, Freddie Kitchens in charge of four people.
Was trading Demaryius Thomas when they did the right call? Ed and Whitman, go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. I'm with you, Felger. I'm not a huge Demaryius Thomas fan by any means, but I'm also with what Murray and Maz are saying in that, you know, he's a better option. But I think the bigger point is the absolute stupidity and idiocy to think that you can put all of your eggs in the Antonio Brown basket.
Great point.
They should have kept him just to have him as a backup, because I don't know how you didn't know that this was going to go south. It went south really quickly, and they just shipped out a guy that, yes, maybe he's got deficiencies, but he could still help Brady.
They just overcommitted to Antonio Brown.
No, he's right, though, that you know, you're giving up an asset before you even have a clue as to whether Antonio Brown can survive. And so whether you like Demaryius Thomas or not, and I know you don't, it's bad roster management.
It feels that way. It, you know,
so Mike, do they need Jordan Richards on this team more than they need Demaryius Thomas?
Cody Kessler? Is he still on the team? Or
nope.
He's gone.
He's been cut.
Yeah, he's gone.
So like, there's
that's another one they screwed up.
You know, there's a half dozen guys. You say, really? But at one time, they had Josh Gordon, Demaryius Thomas, and Antonio Brown. Like, that's a little much for the unreliable, we don't know what we're getting. So I get why they sort of trimmed that. Antonio Brown never should have been here is the point.
Absolutely it is.
Or they should have invested more in Jacoby Myers or forced Brady to, you know, but, you know, those three guys, all unreliable for various reasons. Antonio Brown's already gone. Demaryius Thomas is gone. And Josh Gordon, he's now on the shelf. And, you know, that thing could go south at any moment. So you could go 0-3 on that.
Yeah. And again, the Thomas one, you know, Gordon is an injury or whatever, right? I mean, it feels like an injury. At least he's here and, you know, has been available up till now. The part that blows me away about the Demaryius Thomas trade, just quickly, is that was it ever stable with Brown when he got here? It was never stable.
No.
There was always this swirl, or as Murray said, would you call it the hurricane of chaos?
Cyclone of chaos.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Like there was always this thing, and yet they still, in the middle of that, traded him away. They never let it, had the thing gone dormant for a couple of weeks, and then they traded him.
Demaryius Thomas, you're talking about, yes.
Yeah, but it never went dormant. It was chaos the whole time, and they still traded him away.
Okay, Demaryius Thomas ripping Belichick today in New York. Belichick responding, surprisingly, but it opens up the question, worth revisiting, did they make a mistake trading him when they did? We'll continue with that. We'll also reset a little Bruins thought that we had, a Tuukka Rask thought, where Bruce Cassidy yesterday may have opened the door to the thought of actually platooning goalies, not just in the regular season, which Halak and Rask have done really well, but into the postseason. That created a little debate. There's still people on the line for that. So we'll just reset that coming up, but more Demaryius Thomas here after the update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now Stidham going back down the right sideline. This time for Thomas. Makes the catch. Touchdown, Patriots.
That's what he does. What we're just talking about, his ability to use his body downfield. Demaryius Thomas, he won't run every route in the book. But back shoulder fade stop and that bubble screen down the line of scrimmage. It's huge. Here he is. And it's all down the sideline, vertical. Look at the quick feet off the Achilles. That's a good sign. And then he just slows it up. That's a guy that's done it time after time after time. What a guy like Peyton.
Yeah, give me nightmares.
No chance for a defender. I mean, it's covered.
That's a tough play. It's hard to stop.
Demaryius Thomas preseason highlight with the Patriots. A lot of people were in on Demaryius Thomas. Then they get Antonio Brown and decide to trade Demaryius Thomas to the Jets because they had too many. And now they don't have enough. Did Bill Belichick make a mistake in the timing?
I mean, I think so. And again, I'll admit it. That preseason game made a difference for me because I thought, whoa, he actually looks half decent. You know, he was moving better. I mean, and I thought, and with the time that he was spending with Brady in the preseason, I thought they're keeping this guy. He's not going anywhere. They're going to keep him. They just got rid of him too early. They put way too much faith in Antonio Brown.
George and Woburn, your thoughts.
Hey, Mike. You know, you guys are so usually far ahead of the curve. I'm just really shocked it took you this long to figure out that they shouldn't have cut Demaryius. Who do they have on the roster that's even been on for the full 16 the last 2-3 years? I mean, they have no coverage there. It's kind of ridiculous.
So, look, I wasn't on it, George, because I'm not a Demaryius Thomas guy. I never liked the guy in Denver. I didn't like the guy here. I don't like the guy with the Jets. I think now, especially since he's opened up his yapper, you're going to see it. They're going to stick him with Stephon Gilmore. Someone's going to give Demaryius Thomas a crack in that first quarter, and you won't see him or hear from him again because he's not a tough player. He doesn't profile as a Patriot. So I never lost my mind with the Demaryius thing or did this second guessing because I don't like the player. I'm glad he's not here. I don't want him here. I prefer having Jakobi Meyers and Gunnar Olszewski than Demaryius Thomas. I'm that guy. But, again, I'm not talking to you, the folks that like this player. You know, do you feel that Bill missed that up, that he shouldn't have traded him when he did?
Yes.
I'm asking you.
Yes, again, and the caller got it right a couple of calls ago, not George and Woburn. But the guy who said that, you know, they just put way too much faith in Antonio Brown. So one of the ramifications of that was trading Thomas. If they were that in and of itself is a mistake because you're relying on Antonio Brown to survive and not do anything stupid. That's a mistake.
Dave and Wellesley, go ahead, Dave.
Belichick's a great GM. That is a fact. Having said that, he's not immune from criticism. He's royally messed up the kicking situation. We don't have a tight end. And I don't think it's fair to nitpick drafting, A, because I think it's very hard, and B, because I think Bill does a pretty good job generally. Having said that, he drafted a freaking long snapper in the fifth freaking round because his daddy went to the Naval Academy, and he also drafted freaking Nate Ebner in the sixth round. And I feel like it's somewhat healthy and cathartic to note that Bill is not immune from criticism, regardless of the fact that he is a very good GM. But it has to be said sometimes.
No question, Dave. And I think sometimes his mistakes are he's playing his own record collection. Drafting a Navy long snapper. Would you get out of here with that? You know, so that's pure nostalgia for him. Also, this, you know, she's just so horny for converting people from other sports and other things. So
Ebner,
you know, he loved the rugby. He gets off on converting a rugby player to NFL football.
Just Stephen Neal
gets off on it. And so, you know, maybe to his detriment sometimes. Stephen Neal worked. I still don't know what Nate Ebner does, really. I see him running around out there from time to time. But it's not like he's Matt Slater, who like really has an impact special teams-wise. So that's a fair second guess of Belichick. And it's fair to say he has totally neglected tight end and kicker. Agreed. Today's item is, did he mishandle the receiver thing? Did he put too much stock and too much faith into the fact that he'd keep Antonio Brown and Antonio Brown would stay on the roster? Because it looks like it's come back to bite him. Not just with Antonio Brown going, but him trading Demaryius Thomas in the process.
Yes, and again, now look, you know, they were able to reverse field on the thing, although even then it cost him some money in the process. It also cost him Benjamin Watson for a little while. So the Brown thing had a huge ripple effect. They lost Brown and they lost two other guys to go with it. Now they brought Thomas back. Watson back. Yeah. They brought Watson back, but still, you know, you look at it and you say he's just playing. He's playing musical chairs for crying out loud, scrambling to fill holes. So I'm glad Watson is back, but this all stems from the Antonio Brown move. He put way too much faith in that guy. It was and you mentioned it from the beginning with the contract they gave him. Maybe
those contracts sucked.
I mean the whole thing. So it's, you know, it's bad enough that they brought him in. But then after they brought him in, they showed a lot of faith right out of the gate. Again, they jettisoned Thomas. They ultimately let Watson go. Like, what a mistake. What a costly mistake Brown was.
Okay, we'll continue with this all in our final hour. Just want to reset quickly. There's a, you know, really big sort of interesting Bruins game tonight with the Lightning. Bruce Cassidy yesterday was asked a question about platooning goalies, and his answer may have opened the door for us to speculate about their approach in the postseason. So we'll just reset that quickly with your calls. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
You have data and past years of performance to look at and say this benefits both guys. So do you think there will ever be a coach in our organization that says, let's just try a rotation in the playoffs, or is that just too big of a leap?
No, I think they will. I believe it will happen at some point. Yeah. I don't know if it'll be this year or whatever, but I think eventually, if they're structured that way during the regular season, why would you, you know, necessarily change it in the playoffs? So I could see it happening, definitely. Absolutely.
So quickly resetting this. This is the Bruce Cassidy comment. Yesterday that Fluto Shinzawa wrote about today in The Athletic, and Fluto, longtime Bruins writer, who I think, again, has been excommunicated from the local hockey writers union because he is not doing the boo-hoo Tuca thing. Fluto is asking and then writing about carrying the Bruins goaltender platoon into the playoffs. Because the regular season platoon of Rask and Halak is the best in the league.
Tremendous.
It's unbelievable. And it's picked it up again this year through six games. Fluto writes, the numbers individually and collectively are ridiculous. Halak and Rask have allowed 6 5-on-5 goals the entire year. They've played six games. One even-strength goal a game between these two. They've made 148 saves on 154 5-on-5 shots. That's a 961 save percentage. Again, 5-on-5. They've only let in 3 power play goals. In all situations, they have, Rask has a 957 save percentage, Halak 951. Just lights out. And Fluto writes and says that the Bruins have long had data that shows that Tuukka Rask is better off the less work he gets. And they're following through with that with a regular season platoon with Yaroslav Halak. And so Fluto writes, traditionally goaltending rotations die in the playoffs, but perhaps the Bruins will be trailblazers. And then he gets Cassidy to say that platooning goalies is definitely going to happen at some point. So does that open the door for the Bruins to platoon goalies in the postseason? Should they, Murray?
Yeah, absolutely they should.
Next time there's a Game 7 at home for the Stanley Cup, who should be the goalie?
Anyone but Tuukka Rask. Seeing as it's Yaroslav Halak, we go with Yaroslav Halak.
And if the rotation was Dan Vladar?
Yep, put him in.
Or Max,
put in a mannequin.
Max Legacy?
Yep.
Or Kyle Kaiser's another guy they have in the system. If it's the platoon, someone else, and it's Game 7 at home for the Stanley Cup.
Put in the new anthem singer. Anyone but Rask.
Todd and Jillian.
Yeah. Todd and Jillian Nett over Tuukka Rask.
Yeah. Yeah. We've seen it. We now know what this is. We now know what the results are. And here's the thing. Here's the reality of that vaunted run in net with last postseason that, again, ended with failure. The Bruins scored 5 goals in Game 7 against Toronto. So not a lot of pressure on Tuukka Rask in Game 7. Right? Right. Then the Bruins beat up on 2 crap teams in Columbus.
Columbus wasn't crap.
How long did that series go?
And he played great.
6.
Okay.
And he played great.
So he didn't have to play in a Game 7, so not a lot of pressure there.
He won Game 6.
Let me finish. Bruins beat 2 crap teams in Columbus and then Carolina, and then he mostly sucked in the finals, and then he saved his worst for last, shocker, in Game 7 on home ice, where you should theoretically be the most comfortable. Because, again, home ice, Game 7, your building.
Jimmy Stewart.
Instead, he did what we all, not just me, not just the pessimists, what we all knew Tuukka Rask was going to do in Game 7, fail again in the biggest possible moment. Clayton Kershaw on skates. That's Tuukka Rask. So again, you try to set me up to wind me up. You did it again. Good. Congratulations. Game 7, Stanley Cup Final. Who do I want in net? Anyone but Tuukka Rask. And Jilly, guy sitting up in 300, Jimmy Stewart, me, you, Mike, I know you play in a men's league. You play goalie. Anyone but Rask, because I know what the results are going to be.
Jimmy, I think we know that someone broke into Felger's medicine cabinet this morning because Murray get the stupid pills. Murray get the stupid pills, clearly. Stupid.
A walk, by the way, in game sevens in the playoffs. 2-1. Limited goals against. 2-2-1.
Yeah. And when did he play that? About 10 years ago for Montreal, for crying out loud.
Yep, one of the great runs in NHL postseason.
So, look,
how do you feel about platooning goalies in the postseason?
I hate it.
Me too.
This whole idea of, like, you know, you can just plug a goalie in and the team will respond the same way is asinine. Your players are human beings. They have opinions. They have beliefs. There are certain guys that they believe in more than they believe in another. And I know both guys were good last year. I'm just telling you, when Rask is playing the way he's playing, if all of a sudden they switch the next game and they put in Halak, the players on that team are going to go, what the hell are we doing this for?
I don't believe it in the postseason at all. I believe ride the hot goalie. That's what you do. That's what you typically do. And that's that.
I just think Cassidy allowing for it is a particular, you know, it's that touches a nerve here because of Rask's relationship here with Bruins fans, which is tenuous. He's been a great goalie and he had a great run last year. But he's also, I don't need to tell you, blown a 3-0 series lead, lost a Stanley Cup on home ice in Game 6, and I was lost a Stanley Cup on home ice in Game 7. He won a President's Trophy 1 year and got bounced in the second round at home Game 7. You take out some of those Toronto games, 7s, and look at him and the rest of his team in Game 7s, it's really not that good. So this boy needs a Stanley Cup like you read about. Tuukka Rask needs that cup. And until he gets it, the coach coming out and saying, yeah, eventually someone's going to platoon goalies in the postseason. It is a layup for an empty net goal for us to then go, might that work here? Because regular season, Rask Halak is as good as it gets. Would it be just as good in the postseason? And I know what Murray's answer is. That's obvious.
Yeah, what's yours there, facilitator boy?
Ride the hot goalie. Ride the hot goalie. And so if Rask, and I absolutely would have been in favor of this last year, if Rask had failed early, I would have gone to Halak, and if Halak performed, ride him. Ride the hot goalie. It doesn't have to be the starter. Doesn't have to be the guy that makes the money. Doesn't have to be the guy with the Vezina trophies. Whoever's hot, you ride. And that's, to me, I don't care what analytics they come up with. I don't care what formula they come up with. You're not going to change my mind on that. The hot goalie plays every night. You play him all 60 minutes of every game, and that's the way it goes. That's the way you do it.
I mean, the platoon thing to me is outrageous. I just think it's outrageous.
Rask was better in the first round against Toronto than he had been in the past. Some of his first rounds against the Maple Leafs that they even pulled out of their ass, he was lousy. I think if he had done that again this year, Cassidy would have gone with Halak. He even mentioned something like
that. He did,
in the postseason.
Yeah.
That was on the table.
Going into the series, he said that.
Going into the playoffs, I think it was we're going to play the best guy. And I would be fully in favor of that. If we get Murray to the playoffs this year and Halak is playing better than Rask, 100%.
All right, I'd like to hear that.
Okay, but if now we're at Game 7 of the Cup Finals and Rask has had a really good playoffs,
you're going to fall for the Ponzi scheme again?
Yeah. I'm going to take that banana right up the tailpipe, not as me. You like to say.
I'll turn my back to the television because I already know what the results are. You can tell me about it. Oh, let me guess what happened. Oh, he gave up a couple of bunnies in the first? Shocker. Oh, who didn't see that coming?
So this poor guy, and I say that because it's a little unfair, but these are the final exams. His last final exam reads
4 goals on 2 shots in the first period.
4 goals on 2 shots. That's not going to be his middle name. It was, gave up 2 goals in 1:10 in Game 6 to the Blackhawks. That's what he was known for. Now, 4 goals, 2 shots. First period, Game 7, Cup in the building. It's going to be tough. He's got to get back through. He's got to win it, or else that thing's never going to go away.
His save percentage in the playoffs going into that game was .938.
It's terrific.
And then it went to .800 in Game 7. That's a big drop.
That fella needs to get back there, and he needs to win.
Hey, Murray, you know what Halak's save percentage is in Game 7?
What's that, Jimmy?
Here we go.
9.76.
Oh!
9.49.
Oh!
9.23. Pretty good.
Wow. Those were his 3 Game 7s in his career?
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, when was the last one?
2015.
That's not that long ago.
That was 4 or 5 years ago. It'll be 5 years in the spring. 5 years.
It's not that long ago.
It's long enough.
It's not that long ago.
Gave up two goals to a high-powered Capitals team that Game 7.
Yeah, pick any year with Rask. I know what the number's going to be. So, not good.
Anyway, the Lightning are in tonight. Catch it here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. They've gone to an erection line of themselves. They have a perfection line. They've put Stamkos, Point, and Kucherov, the MVP, together on one line, which I think is stupid, but I wonder if this is another trend. This is just another thing to watch for tonight.
Stamkos, Kucherov, Point, and if Cassie decides to match him with Bergeron, Pasternak, Marchand, that's fabulous. That's like all-star game. Get your popcorn ready. If those two lines are going against each other all night, that's worth the price of admission.
It's a super erection line.
Okay, so that's just another little sidebar I wanted to mention. But the goaltender thing, that hits a nerve. That hits a nerve. I know it does. And so we got calls on the board from that from 2 hours ago. I wanted to reset it. We'll take your calls on this, the Demaryius Thomas thing, the 5 o'clock hour. Just you. 90 seconds, no commercials, just Murray, and we're right back. Whoever's hot, you ride.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.